Blog Talk Radio. Welcome everyone to another great show from Natural Horse Network. This is DC, your host. Today, I'm welcoming back Tim Link. Tim is an animal communicator, and he'll be chatting with some of your pets today. You can find more information about Tim on my website on the radio page. We'll also post a link in the chat room for you to his website. Tim has also agreed to do this show on a monthly basis. We're going to do it the first Friday of every month at 1 o'clock. But you can find the information in our events section of the NHN community. So now let's get started. Okay, welcome, Tim. We already have a caller on the line.
That's great.
Is that you, Angie? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine. You sound great.
Okay, I'm having some issues. I can't be signed into the chat room while I'm talking. I don't know. I've got to figure out what's going on with that because it comes over with two different feeds.
That's okay.
So I will do what I'm doing here. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Angie. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you been? How have you been?
Things are great. Things are great. Keeping busy as usual.
Sorry to hear about your nephew's dogs.
That's
a sad situation.
Yeah, very sad. You know, just when you hear about all the national recalls that happened at the end of 07, you thought everything was cleaned up, but once again got a hold of some lower-grade food, and it had a contaminated gluten in it. And sad because he lost one of the dogs and I think two or three of the pups. And so I always tell people, make sure, no matter what kind of feed we're giving, whether we're talking dogs, cats, horses, whatever it may be, make sure that you're giving them the premium stuff, give them the good stuff, the stuff with all the natural ingredients in it, because not only are they going to live a longer, healthier life, but it's going to keep them safe and sound, and it's worth a little bit extra money that you put into it.
Most definitely.
Yeah, that's a shame because I think everybody had forgotten about that recall and thought, okay, everything's fine now, and obviously it's not.
No, it sure isn't. And you just got to keep an eye on those type of things and watch what you're feeding your pets. Just like the foods that you eat yourself, you know, make sure that they're good and healthy and whole, and you can't go wrong with it. But yeah, I think our memories, we have very short term memories, unfortunately, and we tend to forget. It seems like we hold on to the stuff we should forget and forget the stuff that we should hold on to.
Oh, that is so true.
Oh, yes.
And also, I think we just trust the manufacturers of feed to think that it's safe, and we can't do that.
We do. And I think they mean well, but I think the challenges we have, especially when you're talking about companies that buy their products from the same manufacturer, but it's labeled differently, so these mass producers, and they're producing for, you know, tens and twenties of different brands and different names out there, but it's all coming from
mm-hmm.
one source. And it's very hard to track it when it gets handed down to, you know, two or three different lines. It's hard to track exactly what the quality control is.
Definitely.
Well, before we get started with any questions, and we can talk more about the feed, but I thought it might be good, Tim, for you to explain to people that don't know what telepathy is so that they can understand the communication that you do with pets and understand that we also have that ability if we can develop it.
Sure. Well, glad to do that. Well, we're all born with the ability to telepathically communicate with each other. And this is what telepathy is. Telepathy is a method of communication without using verbal commands. So it is, I guess the best way to take a look at it is when you're a child and you haven't developed your vocal skills and abilities, you have to be able to communicate with your parents in some fashion. Now, typically we think that's through, you know, crying or methods of that sort that we hear from a baby. But in reality, they're connecting. They have that connection with their parents to telepathically connect to them, to communicate with them, to tell them what their needs are. And if their parents are calm enough, quiet enough, and trust that intuition, they can understand what's going on with their children. And they typically get to the result and get the child's issue resolved. Unfortunately, by the time we get to be, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old and we're starting to develop our vocabulary, we tend to forget about this way of communicating. We get it taught out of us. And so we go back to our normal verbal commands just like we're speaking today. And most of us don't go back to trusting that capability. But meanwhile, our pets continue to use that method, so they're born with it as well, and they continue to use the method of telepathic communication to communicate back and forth with each other. And that's why we see when animals are running in a herd or geese are flying in formation, whenever, say, the first goose wants to fall back in formation, he doesn't necessarily give vocal tones. He connects telepathically with the flock to let them know that it's now my turn to fall back into the pack and let a new leader come forward. And that's how they communicate.
Very cool.
Yeah, so it's very cool. I mean, so really when I talk about this with people, you know, it is sort of a gift, but it's a gift we're all given. We just have to uncover it again. We have to know how to work with it and how to use it again and trust it. So that's what we're talking about. So trust that telepathic connection. Get in your quiet zone. Listen to your pets. Trust that intuition, and you'll be amazed at what you can come up with.
Sounds good. Okay, well, do you want to, should we start with Andrew since she's the first caller?
Sure.
Did you get my picture of Mickey again?
I did. So okay. What's going on with Mickey?
Well, basically, we're doing a lot of stuff on her, and I just wanted to get clarification on see where her mental statuses are at this point in time, because I've been working pretty hard on her.
And what are some of the things that you've been working on?
We're working on biofeedback, Reiki energy, long-distance chiropractic or acupuncture, and then myself, I've been working on trying to get her in a different state of mind, you know, explaining things to her better, you know, seeing if she's, and I'm kind of curious to whether she's picking that up, because she seems a little more relaxed to me, you know.
She does. I mean, I think you're spot on. I think all these wonderful things that you're doing are things that are actually helping her out. She seems a lot stronger mentally than the last time I connected with her. So it seems, you know, not strong as far as like strong-willed, but strong as far as mentally accepting what you're doing and understanding that it's good for her. And health-wise, has she been feeling fairly well? She feels good to me.
Well, that's what we've been working on. You know, we're still having, you know, stomach issues, and I don't know if she's still feeling that, but that keeps coming up on the reports as well, you know, and things like that. And, you know, I just want to make sure she's comfortable and she's actually getting to a better state of mind, or where she's understanding that, you know, this is what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how we're doing it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think she does have a full understanding, and the way you're communicating to her is very helpful for her. So I think you're doing all the good things, got it right on track. She does feel better to me, both physically and mentally, than she had in the
good.
Past. So I think you're on the right track.
Okay, that was basically my only question, is whether I was able to get through to her.
Yeah. Yep, I think she's got it. I think she knows why you're doing all these things for her, so that's good news.
Are you concerned, Angie, about the continuing stomach issues, or you don't think that's anything to worry about?
Well, it's always a concern, yes, and, you know, we're working on that, you know, through that, you know, the long-distance healing and whatnot, but I don't think there's nothing really that I can do at this stage in the game unless you can come out and tell me, hey, I need this, you know, to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, you know, and that's the tough thing about it, is trying to find that right thing for her.
Well, I think the parasites may have been a big contributor, and you've already dealt with that, right?
Yeah, we've dealt with that, but they weren't a huge amount of parasites. It's not like she was infested. She just had a little bit of strong guiles, and, you know, and that was all. They were very low counts, so I know she wasn't infected for a long period.
So you don't think that was causing the stomach issues?
Oh, no, because she's always had this, since I've had her, she's always had that stomach issue.
Right.
Now it's more of a digestion thing to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any things as far as, is she eating more grasses than usual, or what's her diet consisting of lately?
Her diet's always been the same since she's in the dry lot, you know, just good orchard grass hay, and then she's getting some less nutritious hay to help, you know, just give her some more of the roughage.
Right, okay.
Because I don't want, you know, with her diet that I've got her on, you know, I've got to keep it limited on how much of the nutrients I'm giving her in the good grass hay, the good orchard hay. So I kind of supplement some extra roughage, basically just for roughage.
Well, it sounds like she's got the right thing. Is she on any supplements at all?
She's on a digestion formula. She's on some probiotics. And then she's on her usual blend, hormonal blends, as well as that. So herbs, basically.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you're doing all the right things. You know, it's one of those things where you got to find a diet that obviously is consistently good for her and stick with it. Combine that with some of the holistic alternatives that you're doing, like the acupuncture and the energy healing. I think all those things can help. Will it solve the problem? Who knows? Over time, it may continue to get better and better, but she's going to always have some stomach issues. She's going to always have some flare-ups. We just need to find the best
the combo.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much the way it is. It's a lot like suffering when humans suffer with things like you know, irritable bowel and some of the other diseases out there. As long as you find a diet that fits well into your system and does well with your system, then you can sort of maintain it. It'll always occasionally flare up, but over time you find a good maintenance for it. So it sounds
yeah.
like putting all the measures in place, though.
Yeah, we're working on that, you know, doing the best on that in that. As much that she could tell me exactly. And, you know, we're doing real good with this life session stuff. So it gives me a good feedback on exactly where the issues are coming from.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, she feels a lot stronger and a lot, she definitely understands what's going on, so that's good. I think she appreciates all the stuff that's happening. And,
yeah, as long as she's just happy mentally, you know, with all this is going on, I'm good with that.
Exactly. I think you're on the right track.
I don't see how she could be any happier, Angie. I mean, she's got, you know, you dote on her, so she's got to know that.
Oh, yeah. But I think, you know, before I started talking to her, like Tim said, you know,
yeah.
I could see that she was just not happy.
Mm-hmm.
She just wasn't pleased with the location she was in or pleased with what was going on or pleased with this. You could just see that. And since I've noticed a huge turnaround since I've been explaining everything that I'm doing.
There you go.
I hear that a lot from people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing how it works. I did a luncheon here in the Forsyth County, Georgia area yesterday to a women's group. We had about 114 women there. And I would hazard to say a majority of them, you know, really weren't on the holistic path or any sort of metaphysical path or whatever it may be. So they sort of knew what an animal communicator was when I mentioned that, you know, it's sort of like the horse whisperer, the animal whisperer, dog whisperer, whatever you want to call it. They see it sort of grasped that idea and that concept. But as I continue to talk, you know, when I introduce people to these concepts of just talking to your pets and how do you do that verbally, how do you do that, you know, in your quiet time, projecting to them, you know, the first reaction is always sort of the raise of the eyebrow, like, what? You mean I can actually talk to my pets and they actually understand what I'm saying and what they should do to help out the situation and why it's a good thing for them? And amazingly enough, every time I do this, they finally grasp it and they put it in place, and it works. It works. It's amazing if you just communicate how things just work.
And that's true.
Now if we can get us humans to communicate a little bit better, I think we'll be in good shape.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I think we're kind of on the path. We're getting there.
We're getting there. We're turning the corner slowly, but we're in the right direction, I believe.
We're just stubborn is all.
That's
it
right.
It just takes time to turn those thinking patterns around.
Absolutely.
I don't know how our horses and our puppies and stuff put up with us.
I know.
Who's next here? Who do we have, Tim? I think
well, we got some
Sharon sent in.
Sharon sent some stuff in about Kiowa.
Yes.
And Sharon was asking questions about let me read through
trailer.
Here. Yeah.
Something about the trailer.
I'd like to know why she paws and kicks the sides of the trailer and also the stall when confined inside. What is it about the trailer that she doesn't like? What would make traveling in the trailer better for her? So we get some trailer issues here. So I guess the question is for Sharon is how much discussion is she having with Kiowa as far as why she needs to get into the trailer and where she's going and when she'll be back. That's the one thing I'd really ask Sharon is, you know, to better understand that anxiety and to curb that anxiety, is she communicating what the situation is with Kiowa?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important. So we just talked about, you know, communicating why it's important to, why we're doing these various holistic methods to make make them happy and healthy and those type of things. It's the same thing when we're putting them into a trailer or a stall and they're not really sure about why they have to be in there and how long they're going to be in there and where they're going. You need to explain these things to them. So there's some anxiety about from Kiowa about, you know, where Kiowa's going and is she coming back or, you know, if so, what is the deal? What is the situation? So I would encourage that you just have a conversation. Make sure that she understands before you put her into the stall or into the trailer of what's going on and that she will be back and when she'll be back and where you're going and what you need from her and why it's going to be a good thing for her.
Well, horses especially are very claustrophobic, so when you put them in a space like that, they're going to have that anxiety anyway. So you need to explain to them why they're there and what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. So the anxiety is the key behind it, and you know, rightfully so, like you said, with horses. I mean, they're used to being out in pasture. They're used to being in the open spaces, and you know, a lot of people just let their horses I know our cousins, they let their horses stay in pasture for the most part and just leave the stalls open for them to come and go as they please, unless there's inclement weather or something, or one of them's sick or injured. So when you get used to those type of things and then all of a sudden you're asking them to stay in the stall for longer periods of time or go in a trailer for a trip somewhere, if you're not explaining what the situation is, they will get the anxiety will peak. And that's the same thing when we talk about Sharon had asked about her dog Brandy, still having still shaking, having anxiety times when they're not around, when Brandy's home alone. And that's the same thing. You just got to keep instilling to Brandy in this situation of where you're going and when you'll be back and what is Brandy to do during that time. And just, start off, if Brandy's not used to being home alone, start off with just small measures where, you basically leave her at home for 5 minutes while you wait outside and then expand it out. But each time making sure that Brandy knows what's going on and where you're going, when you'll be back, and what is Brandy to do while you're gone.
Yeah, and I think she's been working with Brandy, and she's doing so much better. She said she's much happier. So I'm curious to know. I wish she was here. She had to work. But I'm curious if she's doing the same thing with the horse. Is she explaining to the horse? She's had this issue for a while.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it'll take time. Each individual animal has their own personality, and some animals are more anxious than others due to whatever reason. It could be their makeup, it could be history, it could be just that breed. There's a lot of factors that go into it.
Mm-hmm.
These measures do work. This communication does work, as we've seen, but you just got to be consistent with it and trust that it will work and give it time. There's rarely a miracle cure. Sometimes I can talk to them and we'll fix the problem right away, but usually that's because there's something else going on with the human that we can solve first that gets the animal more in place.
I mean, you might be able to make her feel at ease, but then when they're back with their owner, it's a different story.
Exactly. And so we've got to make sure that we're centered and we're feeling good about things and we're not anxious. You know, I deal with a lot of clients that contact me when their animal's behavior's changed, and we put the communication steps in place and the measures to take to make it better, but they still have that anxiety, they still have that fear. If the dog is urinating on a carpet whenever they leave the house, if they haven't cleared themselves to know that the dog will not be doing this because you've communicated with your dog and you trust that and you leave that when you leave the house, if you do trust it, you'll be in good shape. If you don't, if you still are fearful and still wondering, oh my gosh, what am I going to come back to, then you're going to, guess what, you'll get exactly what you ask for.
Yeah.
So got to get confident. Give it time. Give it time to work with them, and I think they'll definitely come around and communicate with what's going on, that's for sure.
Well, also, when you do have a horse that's out, used to being out in the pasture, usually the only time you put them in a stall or in a trailer, there's something anxiety going along with that. You know, you put them in a stall because they're injured, so they anticipate what's going to happen to them with that, or a trailer, you know, they're not sure where they're going when they're coming back, so... I lost my train of thought.
Well, no, but that's important. I mean, if you're wanting to get your horse used to being in the trailer, then get him to go. You explain to him what's going on, and once you've done that, put him into the trailer, but start with baby steps. You put him into the trailer, you close the trailer door, you stand outside the trailer for a few minutes, and then you let him out. And then you do that. you do that for, a few days or a week till they get comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And then you put them into the trailer, and you put a chair outside the trailer, and you get a book, and you spend 15 minutes reading the book, and then you get up and you let them out. And then eventually you start progressing this to wider and wider areas. Sooner and before too long, you'll be able to get them to go in the trailer without worrying what's going to happen. You can actually drive to wherever you're going.
Right.
And it's the same thing we talk about when we're doing crate training with dogs or getting cats used to pet taxis, those type of things. You've got to do it in stages. If they have some big anxiety, you first got to explain to them what's going on and why it's a good thing for them, and what you need from them and why it's a good thing for them, but also start with small steps.
Mm-hmm.
Start with these small steps, and you can do this with horses and with dogs and cats and pretty much any animal that you have that you're wanting to get used to being in a crate or a stall or a trailer. You
exactly.
Start off with measures.
Like the other day, I was flying somewhere, and there was this woman with a huge white Persian cat, and it had its pink carrier. And this cat was just as laid back and easygoing as could be, you know, probably just used to. She said she flies back.
Well, human anxiety, I think, plays a good role.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, when we talk about, like the pet taxis, like you said, for the cats, I mean, I ask people how does their cat like their pet taxi? And most of them will say, oh, my gosh, she hates it. You know, she'll run for the hills whenever she sees that thing. And the next question I ask is, well, do you leave it out and open with her favorite towel and her favorite stuff inside of it during the day? Or do you put it in the closet and only bring it out when you need to? And most of the time, it's I bring it out whenever I need to, and the only time I need to is to take them to the vet. Okay, well, when you boil that down, if we knew, a great example is when I was a kid, my dad used to take me on Saturday mornings to get a burr haircut. Now, are you familiar with what a burr haircut is?
No, I have.
No idea. Okay,
picture it though.
A burr haircut is almost like a bald haircut. They get the big razor out, and they fire it up, and it makes that humming noise, and they burr it over your head. It's like going into the military. You know, they don't quite make it bald, but pretty darn close to it. And I used to hate that. I used to hate getting
I have before.
Oh, there you go. So I hate that. I hate the noise that the razor made. I just hated the whole deal. And this would happen like every other week, every other Saturday. Dad liked to keep my hair short. And I always knew when it was going to happen because it was always on a Saturday. Dad would get up and make my favorite bowl of cereal, which he never, ever did, and let me watch my favorite cartoon. And then I knew exactly. So I ate that cereal as slow as I possibly could, and I waited for Dad to leave the room and take off running as fast as I can. So we expect the same thing from our cats, and we expect the same thing from our horses. If the only time they do that is when there's something bad going to happen, like going to see a vet or going to get something done, then yeah, they're going to be paranoid about it.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. So, Angie, you've had a burr haircut? Hello? She disappeared again.
May have lost Angie. I hear a radio in the background, but I don't hear...
Well, before we get done with Sharon, she did ask if... I think she's asked this before. Whether at any point in the past her horse had been abused.
Well... I don't think her horse was treated as well as it should have been. We'll just put it that way. I don't know if there was any actual abuse, but I think it was the person that had it before had a lot less patience, obviously, than Sharon does.
Mm-hmm.
The neat thing to keep in mind about our pets is the fact that, they come down here into their bodies, and they know what their mission is, they know what their purpose is, and they stay true to form, and they fulfill that mission and fulfill that purpose. And so the things that, like what happened to them in the past, they are cognizant of that, but they don't live in that past. They live in the present and look forward to completing their mission moving forward into the future. So they don't have the same hang-ups and the same issues that humans have of hanging on to that past. So, the key thing here, Sharon, is the fact that don't worry about what happened to your horse in the past. Focus on here and now and where you want your horse to be. And that's exactly where Kiowa wants to be as well, focusing on what we can do now to make things as best, the best life possible, and how can Kiowa fulfill the mission that's been chosen.
Good advice. Good advice.
Most definitely. I think a lot of owners, though, they hold on to those past. They think automatically, they're going to act up again, or, this is going to happen, or, it's going to be a bad experience, and they don't never move on from that past.
Exactly, and we got to move on. That's the key to life. You got to forget about that past and move on. If you hang on to that past, guess what? You're going to get stuck there, and you won't have a future if you hold on to your past.
Yeah, and I think we try too hard sometimes.
We do, and I think as we get older, too, we start analyzing things a little bit more than possibly we should. We start thinking, I've got this ailment, or I've got this problem, or this issue. What could have caused that? Oh, well, my parents were bad, or we were poor, or, I didn't... I've heard the whole gambit, and I'm sure, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and I'm sure there's some underlying things that impact humans, and I'm sure there's some underlying things that impact our animals. But the key is that the animals can shake it off a lot quicker and get back into the moment and get back into where they're going. As humans, we tend to hold on to things too long. And I was at a little get-together last night. We were talking about some of these type of things with humans, getting stuck in the past, getting stuck into negative energy instead of trying to stay in the positive energy. And I always use the analogy that, when you're talking about positive people and positive energy and you're talking about negative people and negative energy, I always use the analogy of that it's easier to fall into a hole than to climb out of the hole.
Very true.
Exactly. So when it's very easy to fall back into that negative mode, especially when we're surrounded by it every single day. It's very much of a challenge to stay in that positive mode and pull yourself up to that level. But the nice thing is once you pull yourself up to that level, boy, the view is much nicer. And it's a lot easier to stay up at that level. So stay positive.
So I have a question then, Tim, because I get myself bogged down. Because things aren't going like I think they should, or people aren't reacting like I think they should. And so I get down I start getting in the mud, and I know when you're down in the mud, you shouldn't struggle because you just get more covered with mud. But what's a good way to bring yourself back up to that higher place?
Well, you find a rope and you get yourself out of that mud. And your rope can be a lot of things. It could be your positive attitude and view on the world, knowing that you're a good person and that only good can come to you. God created us here to be prosperous and be successful, and he or she wouldn't have it any other way. So when you have that knowing, you have that belief, you have to trust that you will get out of that mud and that everything will be fine. So the key thing is just, when you fall into that situation, you catch yourself, in a bad mood or in a bad, situation, the bills aren't being paid as readily as that you'd want them to be paid. You just have to take a step back and take a breath and realize and look within yourself that life's good and we're here to be successful and prosperous. And I'm going to do everything I can. I'll let God lead the way. I'll let Spirit lead the way. But I'm going to hop on that boat and paddle as fast as I can to help get on up that river. And that's what you have to do. And I think that one of the key things behind that is stay positive and you'll start attracting positive things in your life. And you'll start attracting positive people in your life. And amazingly enough, all the negative things in the world as well as all the negative people in the world will tend to move out of your way and start to leave because they can't deal with being in that type of great energy.
Wow.
And it's true. It's very true. I think a like attracts like. You have negative attitudes and you attract negative people.
That's exactly right. It's the old boomerang approach. What you put out there is what you get. So what you throw that boomerang out there, it's going to come right back at you. And so the further you throw it with more positive intensity, the more positive stuff you're going to get back. If you throw it out there with negative intensity, then you're going to get that negative stuff back. So, yeah. No, things are good. Things are well. You're doing great work. You're a great person. You bring a lot of love and light to the world, and things are great.
Wow, Tim, that's why I love doing shows with you, because I always feel so much better. I always feel way more positive.
Well, I'm always here. I'm always here.
Well, we've got about 20 minutes left, so I think we have one more person that sent in.
Didn't Farrah send something in? Yeah.
Did Farrah send you something, Tim?
She sure did. Let me get on over here. Take a look what Farrah's got going on here. Bear with me here. Okay. Okay, so Farrah says, like last month's show, we talked about her little May Day girl, Elsa, being a little firecracker. And comments from talking to Elsa seemed to be right on the head, hit it right on the head. So I appreciate the positive comments, Farrah, that we were able to give some insight on what's going on with Elsa, and Elsa is a little firecracker. And so this month, Farrah sent in a photo of Mercury. And let's see what Mercury's got to say. Bear with me here. Oh, beautiful. All right. So the question is, now, do you know Farrah and know Mercury? Do you know any history behind this particular horse?
A little.
I know. Actually, I don't know too much about the horse. I know that he was recently gelded, and that's about all I know about him. We do know Farrah because she's part of our community, and she's a really respected trainer.
Yeah, I'd be real curious. I'm getting some real sort of stagnant energy from Mercury. I'm curious to find out if everything went well with the procedure, if there's something else going on. I'm getting some things. I'm curious to find out from Farrah, is there any stiffness going on, any stiffness in either the joints or in the back? Beautiful horse.
Yeah, I wish she was here today so she
could. Yeah.
It's frustrating when people can't actually attend. They can't interact and answer back. So we're just kind of guessing here.
Yeah. Well, I think the key thing is, going out to Farrah is, keep an eye on Mercury. I think that And there's nothing serious going on, but I got some stiffness today. I'm not sure if it's just an isolated incident or if it's something going on underlying. Could be something that you already know about, but I got a little bit of stiffness in the back end of the joints as well. So if you're
interesting,
yeah. So maybe one of the things where, you know, obviously good supplements, good glucosamine and other type of supplements are always a great thing to put into the diets. And so if mercury is not on those type of supplements right now, then I'd encourage you to consider that and consult with your veterinarian before you do that. But I encourage you to do that. And if you're on those, if mercury is on those supplements, that's great. That's great. Keep an eye on the area. It could be something that he's just tweaked recently, but it's nothing. I don't think anything major. But I'm just getting some real stiffness going on right now.
From what I understand, the procedure went really well, didn't it, Angie, with the gelding? Didn't she say that he bounced back pretty quick? She had him on the flower essence and stuff, and he did really well?
He did. He had some swelling afterwards that she had to call the vet back out just to checked out. But other than that, yeah, I think within a couple of days he was back without a problem.
Well, keep an eye on him. Keep an eye on him. Like I said, I don't think it's anything serious. It may have been just something he's tweaked recently. Just keep an eye on that. Other than that, he's doing well. I'm real curious how well his training's going. Have we heard anything about that? Is he behaving properly? Because he seems like he's a very, very smart horse and takes direction very well.
I get that.
I don't know about I don't know about behavior-wise, but I know, you know, he's doing really well, I think, in his schooling shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll just have to wait and hear from Farah and see.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. And then obviously, you know, if you can attend the shows and call in, that's great, but I understand that everybody has life going on. So we'll provide as much insight as we can on the show, and feel free to get back with us afterwards and let us know if we're spot on or right off, you know, off track or whatever it may be, and that way at least we can help you out with your situation and answer your questions, as well as for next month's show we can follow up. We'll keep some of these on file, and we'll do a quick follow up so people that listened in would know actually what if we were spot on again and hitting it right on the head, or if I'm way out in the pasture somewhere.
You're out in the North 40.
I'm out in the North 40, so.
I know she was having a few issues with little Elsa with weaning. She was considering some type of little weaning contraption halter thing that we were joking about. It looked like something you'd see in Silence of the Lambs.
It's true.
And she was wondering, considering. I think it was made of rubber, so it's
it was
thick,
it was,
but it looked just awful. So
looks can be deceiving.
If she's still having issues with the weaning, because she had brought that up. Do you see anything there, Tim?
I don't see anything with the weaning at all. So maybe that she's got that on the right track.
Oh,
Let's hope so. If you try any unique contraptions that for your pets, make sure you explain to them what it is and that it's only a temporary thing. Because we had a great great little session a few months ago. We've got here in the Atlanta area, we've got a beautiful park in the downtown area called Chastain Park, and Chastain has all kinds of recreational areas as well as a concert venue, and then they've got a wonderful horse park. And the horse park, they do therapeutic riding and work with adolescents, teaching them all about horses, and it's a real nice program. But on this particular day, we went down for a visit, and we were talking to some of the horses and working with some of the people there. And this one particular horse had I know you'll have to correct me here, the little mask on to keep the flies away from the eyes.
Yeah, fly mask.
Fly mask. Well, I got it right. So the little fly mask on, and he was saying he didn't like it. It wasn't fit properly. So I had told its trainer that, you know, I'm not sure. It looks like it's being, you know, somehow it's not tied properly or something. It just doesn't feel well to him. Can you maybe redo it? And so she took it off and tried putting it back on, and they sort of, lack of better words, wrestled around with that for about 10 minutes. And finally, she just gave up. She said, "Fine, just have it your way." And the horse laughed and said, "I won, I won." And
that was
the whole
funny.
Yes. So he actually conned me by telling me that, hey, this thing's not fitting quite right. And so he caught me off guard. And
oh, that's great. I love it.
Reeled me in. So always explain to them what it is and make sure that they're comfortable with using it before you put it on, because otherwise you may be wrestling with them for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be calling you and saying, get this off of me, because
exactly,
I don't like it.
Exactly. This sort of Silence of the Lambs thing doesn't fit quite right, Tim. Can you adjust this for me?
Oh, this thing was just horrific looking, and I think the whole idea behind it is that they can't nurse. Is that correct, Angie? Do you know?
Well, what it is it's a little mask thing. It really does look like a medieval torture device, and it's got prongs on the nose.
Yeah.
And prongs up above, like almost on the forehead. So what that does, they're flexible, you know, so it's not going to hurt the horse. But what the goal is when the foal nurses, the mom feels a slight discomfort, the poking sensation.
So she
starts kicking the foal off her, you know, and essentially weaning the foal without having to separate the two. That's the goal behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a soft rubber. So, you know, it's not going to cause any actual damage. It's just more of an uncomfortable feeling, like someone's poking you.
Right. It just looks bad.
It does. It looks terrible.
Yeah. I think Farrah's concern was she just wanted to do it the kindest way and not separate them.
Well, she doesn't have the facilities to separate them where she's at. That is really the big problem. And, you know, her horses are jumping horses, you know, and separate them. And, Phoenix mom has been known, she said, to run through fences.
Yeah.
So she wanted to find something that, you know, if she couldn't get one or the other off the farm completely, she wanted to do it more gently.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Well, with a mask like that, it's a good thing that horses don't hold on to their pasture. They'd be going through some therapy about this mask they had to wear as a foal.
Well, some of the bits that people use on horses, they are torture devices, definitely.
Yes, they are.
But none of us use anything like that. We're all gentle folks.
Good for you. Good for you. That's the way it should be.
So, Tim, have you had any calls or any issues with the Hurricane Gustave that just hit New Orleans again? Any lost pets or anything?
Yeah, fortunately, due to that hurricane, we haven't had any, which is really good news. I think that, you know, I have to applaud everybody for being very prepared this time, taking
mm-hmm.
the advice of the, you know, the authorities around there and prepare themselves. I've got a good friend of mine here in town. She, her family lives in New Orleans, and they packed up several days ahead of time and drove up here to Atlanta to be with her just in case. So I think that everybody was well prepared. You know, and the brilliant thing since the last hurricane was the fact that...
Katrina, yeah.
Katrina, thank you. When Katrina hit, you know, no one was prepared, especially from the animal standpoint, and we didn't have any policies and procedures in place to be able to take care of these animals. And immediately after Katrina, you know, there were some federal laws passed saying that, you know, that we...
Yeah, I was going to say that, yeah.
Yeah, that is required for them to evacuate the animals and provide proper transportation out of the area and proper shelter for the animals. And that's a federal law that was passed. So, you know, out of every bad thing, there's something good that comes out of it. And I think it really woke up a lot of the nation to how we do things. So I'm
and I think that situation alone helped with, you know, with the hurricane, this recent hurricane in New Orleans, because, you know, the city was evacuated without a problem because people were able to take their animals.
Exactly.
Most of them that stayed for their animals because of their animals.
Exactly.
Right, so they're able to take them, and they have proper identification tags. I know several mm-hmm. of the rescue organizations here in Atlanta drove over to New Orleans in the area to prep, and they had computerized system in place, and they had identification tags similar to what we would have if we go to the hospital or a concert or something of that sort, and they were putting them on as collars with the for the animals. That way, if there was any chance of any separation between them and their human companions, they could track back who it belongs to in a lot easier fashion than what it was before. So I think it was good, and the storm wasn't as strong as what we had hoped. So hopefully the next ones that are coming about will stay at bay a little bit and just provide the southeast some nice needed rain. That's all we need around here.
But, yeah, it's nice though. It's very true. You know, it took that major, you know, catastrophe to wake people up. You know, at least the federal government, especially. You know that. You know they should be treated as well as humans.
Exactly. So, kudos to everybody, and I'm glad the storm curtailed just a little bit. It still did some damage, but not anything as big as Katrina, thank goodness.
Yeah.
But we do, you know, interestingly enough, we have, it seems like through hurricanes and bad storms and stuff, we get, I don't necessarily get as many calls on lost animals, but we get a lot of calls from our rescue organization. As you know, I'm the president of the Humane Society of Forsyth County, and we get quite a few calls from people that have been displaced from their homes, and they have their pets, and they have to find some place to put their pets that can no longer go back. And so, you know, we continue to, even from Katrina days, we're still getting people that are trying to get back on their feet again and weren't able to take care of their pets. So we've seen a lot of that, and we've seen also a lot of due to just the economy, you know, the foreclosures, the rates have gone so high that the foreclosures are so high that people aren't able to maintain their homes and they have to downsize, and unfortunately that negatively impacts their pets. And so we get a lot of calls at the shelter to see what we can do and bring in those pets and get them to a better home, get them to a place that they can be better taken care of.
Yeah, that's so sad, you know, these pets that all of a sudden they have to go because people have lost their homes.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to go to the shelter.
It is. But I think I feel positive we're turning the corner. I feel positive that we're doing the right things to get back in place from a country standpoint, from a federal standpoint. And so just be cognizant, you know, that your pets are a big part of your life, and do everything you possibly can to make sure that you prepare for any sort of disaster or any sort of situation that may come about.
That's always a huge fear, always.
Yeah. Well,
especially when you have the larger, animals, you know, like the horses and whatnot. It's like, where do you go? And it's important to have a plan in place.
That's the key. And I talk about that quite often, what I call a disaster plan. Mm-hmm. And disaster plan could be, you know, due to a natural disaster, or it could be a disaster at the farm or at the home or at the stalls, the barn. Or it could be just, you know, what is your plan if something were to happen to you? Do you have a long-term plan? Who would take care of your pets? Who would take care of your horses? What would happen to them? So just like you plan your own life and put those measures in place to protect in case your house burnt down or got flooded or something happened to you from a health standpoint or you did pass on and transition, make sure that you have the same plan for your pets. And you know that someone's there to take care of them. You know where your emergency hospitals and emergency vets are. You know places that you can take them to that will temporarily take care of them until you can get yourself back on your feet again. So put your plan in place. Put your disaster recovery plan in place. And make sure that includes your pets.
Especially horses, because there aren't that many resources. You can't just take a horse to the Humane Society.
Yeah.
No, there's not.
We're hearing stories every day of people, breeders especially, that have 100 horses they have to get rid of immediately, you know. They didn't plan, they didn't think about it, they just decided to start breeding these horses, and now here they are, they have nowhere to go. So,
yep.
And then other people have to pick up the pieces, and it's real stressful right now in the horse world because of that.
It is. But you know, I think you've got to take a look at your local. There are some horse rescue organizations out there, and see where the nearest one is to you, and form some sort of relationship with them. Volunteer your time with them, and that way, when you need them, they'll be there to be able to step up for you. We get a great group here North Georgia area called Save the Horses. It's savethehorses.org. And it's a horse rescue and relief and retirement facility. So they bring in horses that have been abandoned, abused, and left behind. And it's been challenging for them because they do run the same situations with the foreclosures of the farms. They also run in situations where, and the horses are the owners have transitioned, have passed on, and the one, the family members don't have any clue what to do with horses. And so they look to organizations like that. They also take in horses that are physically challenged, that have become blind or unrideable, those type of things. So I would encourage people to take a look at those rescue organizations and volunteer your time, volunteer your services to them, and build that relationship because you never know when you're going to need them or a friend or someone you know is going to need them. And it's always best to have a great relationship with them.
This is something that both Angie and I want to do is start some type of rescue organization. We both feel so drawn to doing that.
It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to do. It's a big commitment to start a rescue organization, start a sanctuary. But the fulfillment you get behind it, and the wonderful people you attract, and that positive energy is just is overwhelming. And so it's a great thing to do. And unfortunately we need a whole lot more of them. So if you have the means and have the ability to do it, then big kudos to you, because that would be a fantastic thing.
Well, we don't have the means. Yep. That's the only
someday. Someday. Problem, someday, actually very soon.
I keep thinking, what am I waiting for? I should just do it, because if I keep waiting, I may never have the means, but then you don't know if that's the mature thing to do, starting a rescue.
Never worry about logic. Follow your heart and follow your passion, and the rest will fall into place. So don't worry.
You've got to have the facility, though, and that's the main goal. You've got to have property and whatnot, and that's the main goal eventually, is to have a sanctuary, to let them live out the rest of their days in peace.
That's it. I'm sure you're familiar with Best Friends up in Utah.
Yes.
So Michael Mountain and his buddies basically went to college together in UK, graduated, sort of hopped on trains, buses, and planes, and sort of traveled backpacked through the world. And they had a passion for animals, and they started small. And next thing you know, they ended up in Arizona and was starting to do some rescue work. And a friend of theirs happened to go north, take the path up north up to where they're at now in Utah. Caleb, Utah, I think it is. In any case, it was just an old, dried-up horse town. It used to be a place where they actually did Hollywood movies, and they had old sets, but nobody had been up there forever, and the land was just going to waste. And they saw the land and said, hey, let's work out a deal. And they bought the land for next to nothing, and over the years, they started bringing in dogs and then cats, and then next thing you know, they got more funds in to bring in horses, and then more funds to buy more land to bring in donkeys and pigs and you name it. They've got just about everything in the world out there, and it just started off very small and worked its way out. And so you just have to trust it, and you just have to believe it, and if that's your passion, if that's your goal, then that's what you need to do. And just put the feelers out there, and you'd be amazed at what will happen.
Very good. Okay, well, I'm sorry this was kind of a slow show today.
Oh, no, it's okay. We helped some people, hopefully, and we got some questions answered. And got.
We had a nice social chat session.
That's right. That's right.
And I enjoy it.
I do too. I always look forward to it. And so I encourage anybody that's listening or may do a download later to their MP3s or iPods, just... we'll be here same time next month, and we'll be talking about animals, and I'll be glad to answer your questions. And if you can call in, that's fantastic. We'd love to hear from you. If not, send your pictures and your questions, and we'll find out what's going on with your horse or other critter, what's going on in their minds. So they always have a lot to say.
It doesn't have to just be horses. If you got any other pet, call in. Absolutely.
Yeah. We'll be glad to do that.
Just no snakes or lizards.
Oh, come on. They have feelings, too.
That's right.
Julian may have something important to say if I sent in a picture of him. Crush the Turtle may have something profound as well.
That's right. Yeah, they've got a lot of wisdom. So
absolutely.
We've got a turtle here in our household named Slim. And yeah, Slim the Turtle, and he named himself, so he wanted to be called Slim.
Oh, how cute.
He's a fun little pink turtle, about 7-year-old and about 7-8 inches wide, and he's just fun little turtle. We never thought about, you know, my wife always wanted a turtle, but never, you know, we've had all kinds of other animals, but we never had a turtle, and last November she went out and she got one, and he's cool. He makes he makes a mess, but other than that, he just likes to lounge around. He looks forward to eating breakfast with me every day. He hops on top of his rock, and we breakfast together, and so he's always excited about that, and he knows my voice, so when I walk in the room, he jumps off his rock so he can swim over to wherever my voice is coming from. And
see, mine's actually out in my custom-made turtle pond in the summer months.
Wow, very nice.
He's got his own turtle pond with a sunning beach.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Oh, how sweet.
Lap of luxury there.
Yeah.
He does. So he doesn't like it in the winter months when he's actually got to come inside into his tank.
Well, couldn't you heat his outdoor pond for him?
No, because it's not deep enough, and if they're outside in the environment, they want to hibernate.
Oh.
And it's because it's a pond liner, because it's a custom pond, you know, it's a liner, so he can't dig himself like most turtles would down into the sand and dirt.
I see.
To keep them from freezing, that kind of thing. And they've got to have enough to be able to get out in the sunlight or a heat lamp.
Right.
Oh.
So you've got to keep the water from freezing. Yeah, you have to keep the water from freezing, so you have to put a heater in there, which would work, but then you're also going to have to set up an actual heat lamp that they can get out and warm themselves up because they're cold-blooded.
That's right. Do their basking, as they call it.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot to it, a lot to learn about your turtle. And one thing to keep in mind, if anybody's thinking about getting a turtle, is they live a long time.
Yes, they do.
So it's not common. Uncommon, it depends on what kind of a turtle or tortoise you have, but it's not uncommon for them to live, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. So,
exactly.
When we talk about our disaster recovery plan and our long-term strategy, if you got a turtle, our little 3-year-old niece, she'll be acquiring Slim. God forbid anything happens to Kim and I over the next 30, 40, 50 years.
Oh, you should have saw me when I had the fire in my house trying to get all my little critters out.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, when I had, I've got the lizard. Okay, got to get the lizard in the kennel. Okay, we've got to get the rabbit out. Okay, now we got to get the turtle. And then having little containers for everything. I mean, do something with.
That's right.
Yeah, they went to the pet store for vacation.
Very nice. Have that plan.
So I was already set up, that they would take them, you know, and house them while I needed to get my house back in order.
Good for you.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what kind of feedback we get from today, since we kind of just were on our own trying to guess what's going on. So it'll be interesting.
And had I known that we didn't have all that many submissions, I would have definitely submitted one for Jinx, because, we had a bad day yesterday. Jinx got left at the trainer, and it took him 2 hours after I picked him up to actually get back to him. He was a little stressed out and upset.
I had people that wanted to come, and they weren't sure about whether they could make it, so... you know, Tim, maybe we should consider, I don't know if you possibly could do Saturday shows.
Yeah, let's talk, drop me a line, give me your thoughts, we'll take a look and see what the schedule is, and we definitely want to touch as many people as we can, so.
All right.
And if we don't do Saturday shows, then I won't be able to come anymore.
Always a hidden reason there.
Well, I start school, and I'm actually Sunday through Friday, so
wow, okay.
Every day. for good. 2 years. So.
Wow, good for you. Good, that'll be great when you get it all done.
Well,
oh,
I'll
exactly.
Go to the line after the show, Tim, and we'll talk about it.
Okay, sounds great.
Okay, and thank you so much for being here today. Thanks, Angie.
Not a problem.
And thanks, anybody who is listening, and send us your questions. Bye-bye, folks.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Bye.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone, for listening today. Feel free to send us your comments and suggestions. We welcome them. And visit our websites at naturalhorsenetwork.com and simply nhn.com for all your natural horse care needs.